proceed to the sixth case, 05-1631, United States versus Shepherd. Ms. Wagoner.
May it please the court, Mr. Morrison, and all ladies and gentlemen present. The arrest of Shane Shepherd, I think, stands as a paradigm to what the United States Supreme Court warned would happen back in Wong Sung case, when they said that to strike down all factual requirements in respect to probable cause for arrest without a warrant, while maintaining them for the issuance of a warrant, would be to blast one of the support columns of justice by law. I think that's what happened in this case.
At the time they made the arrest, though, he had already committed a whole series of other crimes. Out the fact that they were, whether they had any authority to or reason to stop him or not. By the time they did arrest him, they had about 52 reasons to stop him.
At the time that they rammed their cars into him, I don't think it was necessarily clear to Mr. Shepherd that they were there for him. There were marked vehicles sent
We're talking about when they arrested him. By that time, he had committed a whole series of crimes that had not much to do with them approaching him the first time.
I respectfully disagree.
How so?
Ms. Bauer. Because Mr. Shepherd...
You mean he wouldn't have committed the crimes except he was surrounded?
The task, yes.
Yeah, well, that's okay. It doesn't give you authority. If you're being wrongfully arrested, it is not a defense that you're being wrongfully arrested. You beat the cop up.
I don't believe, though, that it is a crime necessarily to turn and attempt to leave from an area where the police are if you're not certain that the police are there.
Well, the way you described it, it sounds like he turned gracefully and left, but that's not what happened.
Not exactly what happened.
No, it's not exactly what happened. Au contraire.
Until he was rammed by the, I think it was the U.S. Marshal in an unmarked car, I don't believe that...
How far was this chase?
Not far at all.
Well, how far is that far at all?
Just feet. It was still in the same area of where the school bus was stopped.
Was it 1,000 feet or 100 feet or 5,000 feet?
That's not clear from the record, but he didn't leave the
immediate
area.
Well, he tore up, ran in there, turned around, spun back, ran through where there's a crowd. Went through a barricade, if I recall correctly.
No, I don't believe he went through a barricade.
Offense?
I don't believe so. I believe he pulled into a yard and turned around and then headed back
spun
north
backwards.
On... Yeah. Kessler, and as a car was coming toward him, went off the road, and that's when he was rammed, is my understanding of the facts as I read the record.
And then what?
Then he simply sat there until the officers, who were absolutely out with the sole purpose of arresting him that day.
Now, well, he sure gave him reason to do so after he arrived.
But they
Didn't
had, they had no reason to do so.
Pardon? Exiting the bus?
Pardon?
Didn't he go through that barricade when the children were exiting?
No, he did not go past the bus. He turned around before he reached that area.
He
was about the fifth.
He tore down the barricade in the yard where the children were exiting the bus.
I thought the children were getting on the bus, but I don't believe that there was a barricade there.
Then the facts aren't as they're set forth in the brief. They're different from what you're saying.
I think that the government attempted to make it sound like that. The defense contended that he turned around in a yard. The government then said, well, there were children getting on the bus. He was the third or fourth car back from the bus. There's no indication by anybody that he ever actually made it up to where the bus was. The officers in the marked cars that were pulling up beside him didn't even indicate that they had reached the bus, at least according to the transcript as developed by Ms. Choate. But I think the more important thing is that the order to arrest him...
Weren't there several collisions before he finally stopped?
I think there were two. I think two people ran into him. Both, I believe, a uniformed officer and... the task force unmarked car from the U.S. Marshal's Department. It sounds as if there may have been some other collisions, but not involving Mr. Shepherd, because I believe the radio transmission was that they had four or five cars that needed attention.
There's no question he was resisting arrest, is there?
After he was rammed?
No. When he was trying to flee from them. He knew there were squad cars. He was trying to get away from them.
But I don't think that trying to flee squad cars, who weren't specifically at that point, they didn't know what car he was in. He didn't know that they were specifically there for him. And I don't think it's illegal to try to run.
There's no question in your mind that he was trying to get away from the police, is there?
No, but I don't think trying to get away from the police in and of itself is a crime. He had had an attorney contact the police.
If you're resisting, if you're trying to get away from the police and you think they're chasing you, don't you think that's resisting arrest?
That's not a crime?
I think that the conduct of the police in this case was so outrageous.
Now, assuming they were outrageous, that does not give you authority to resist.
I would concede.
Okay.
Doesn't state law require that you stop when a police vehicle activates a red light and siren?
He was already stopped.
Yeah, but then he started up.
Yes, but the marked cars were going by him. I think it's reasonable to assume that Mr. Shepard may have had a fear of the police. He had checked and found that there was no warrant for his arrest. You can't blame somebody for not wanting to be around the police, but I don't think that he knew that they were coming up on the school bus as they were to get him that morning. The marked cars did not know which car they were looking for.
Well, I go back to Judge Bauer's question. It's obvious he's trying to get away from the police. You agree to that?
Yes, but I don't know that trying to get away from the police in and of itself constitutes a crime unless you know that the police are specifically there for you, and I don't believe that he knew that until he was struck by either the marked car or the unmarked car.
The indication is he did not know he was fleeing the police. Is that what you're saying? That's what the record shows?
I believe so. Well, he knew he was fleeing the police. He didn't know that the police were there for him.
Why was he trying to get away if he didn't know that the police wanted him?
It's not all that unusual, especially in the African American community, for people to not care to be in the presence of the police.
I'm not wild about the idea myself, but nevertheless, if some policeman is trying to stop me, I have no right to resist.
Right.
I can fight about it afterwards, but at that stage of the game...
If you know that he's trying to stop you.
Well, we're back to where we were.
Right. I don't believe...
It's practically impossible to assume that he didn't think the police were after him. Otherwise, why was he running away? Why not just sit there and let him pinch somebody else?
A lot of people, mere presence of the police invokes a flight.
Only got a minute left,
reaction.
So why don't you hang on for a second.
We'll see.
Mr. Morrison.
Please, the court.
You'll have to admit, will you not, Mr. Morrison, it would have been far smarter for the police to go get a warrant before they chased him.
Yes.
Yeah.
They did not, however.
Did not?
And the government's position is that there was probable cause to exercise that arrest, but if not, if there was no probable cause, based on the record which is before the court, then there was an attenuation doctrine which applies in this circumstance.
If I were you, I'd hang on to that latter rather more than the first.
And the attenuation doctrine simply involved in this circumstance, and as the facts have been of some discussion here, what happened was that three marked police units, two of them on the middle of the roadside, one of them on the berm side to the right end of the road, all Marion County Sheriff's units with their red lights on and sirens were on either side of the Dodge Intrepid which Mr. Shepard was driving. It's at that point that they stopped there. They didn't know which car they were looking for, but the record indicates that at the point where other officers who were in the line of traffic said, there, they stopped at that one. And it's at that point that the Intrepid then took a right turn, went up into the yard. The school bus, the record reflects, was about four cars ahead of the Dodge Intrepid. It was unloading students at the time. They were going out on the right side, on that side that the car was. The car went up, did a U-turn into the yard. Then it came back across the line of traffic, stopped each way because of the arm of the school bus, so there was nothing going to the north, and the traffic was going south. They then went through a gap in the car, the Dodge Intrepid did, to get to the northbound lane. And when they did that, one of the other officers, who was in an unmarked vehicle, except the record reflects his grill lights were activated and his siren was on, then attempts to block that vehicle. At that point, the vehicle then hits the officer's car, pushes the officer's car aside, gets into the right-hand northbound lane, and starts up the street. At the point that it goes up the street, another marshal's unit then comes out into the traffic and forces the vehicle off the road. The vehicle, the Dodge Intrepid's wheels end spinning, and for the, I believe it's the third collision, one, two, three, anyway, the unmarked unit with the grill lights and the light on them backs across the street and hits the Dodge Intrepid at that point, and at that point the individual is arrested and found with a gun in his possession in the front floorboard. It's the government's position in this, as it made before the district court, that irregardless of the finding of whether there was probable cause or not, that an individual does not have the right to resist arrest, that clearly this was an intervening factor of major proportion, and that Mr. Shepard would have been a lot better off had he would just sat there. And then this would be a much more relevant discussion than it is today, because clearly he was attempting to do what he could not do, and that is evade arrests. Thank you.
Okay. Wagner, anything further?
The whole reason for the requirement of warrants and for the exclusionary rule is to deter unlawful police conduct, and certainly calling a task force out to make an arrest when they do not have sufficient probable cause for that arrest is illegal police conduct. And Mr. Shepard believes that there was not sufficient attenuation between their conduct and what happened to him to justify upholding the search in this case. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks to your office for taking this case. Okay, case 7.